Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to our podcast, The Greek Current, for your daily roundup, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HALC staff. Today, Senator Shaheen, Tillis, Van Hollen, and Lankford sent a letter to the Department of Defense calling on the administration to send a clear message to Turkey and expedite its removal of Turkey from the F-35 supply chain, as is required under U.S. law. Meanwhile, during a press briefing, the White House press secretary made a reference to the Armenian genocide, which goes against the U.S. government's official stance and may place President Trump in an awkward position with the Turkish government. Petros Kasfikis, the D.C. correspondent for Mega TV in Greece and the Athens News Agency, or Athinaiko Praktorio, joins us to give us an on-the-ground report. Petros, welcome on to the Greek Current.
Thank you, Thano. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
So, Petros, today, Senator Shaheen, Tillis, Van Hollen, and Lankford, as I just mentioned, they sent a letter to the Department of Defense calling on the administration to implement the law and expedite the removal of Turkey from the F-35 chain. Petros, what's going on here? Can you give us the breakdown?
Thano, the four senators that you mentioned, Senator Shaheen, Senator Tillis, Senator Van Hollen, and Senator, of course, Lankford, were instrumental in the campaign to block the transfer of F-35s to Turkey over the last years, sending a clear message to Turkish President Erdogan that Ankara's action weakened NATO and won't be tolerated. As your listeners probably know, the U.S. formally removed Turkey from the F-35 program in 2019 over the S-400 deal and intended training on the jet for Turkish pilots. Additionally, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2020, or the NDAA as it is well known, which was signed into law at the end of 2019, prohibits Turkey from providing any material support necessary for or related to any maintenance or support of the F-35 aircraft. Unfortunately, as the senators pointed out in their letter to the Defense Secretary, Esper, Turkish manufacturers are still producing and delivering components of the aircraft despite this provision in the NDAA. Essentially, what the senators are arguing is that continuing to buy parts from Turkey not only violates U.S. law, but it sends the message that there are no consequences for Ankara's S-400 purchase from Russia or for Turkey's authoritarian drift under Turkish President Erdogan. And of course, it's human rights violations in Syria and Iraq and in Libya. They specifically make the point that Turkey is not behaving like a responsible actor or living up to what is expected of a NATO ally, and they call the government and DOD to enforce the American law.
Petros, transitioning production out of Turkey was not going to be something that would happen overnight, obviously, but what was the timeline set out in the original provision of the NDAA by Congress for stopping the purchase of parts and materials from Turkish manufacturers? And what's the case today that's led to this letter?
Well, the senators recognize this reality that transitioning will be challenging. And for this exact reason, they make it clear that Congress intended the transition away from the Turkish manufacturers to last a couple of months and had made provisions for this in the NDAA. In January, the Pentagon said it will pursue a disciplined transition out of Turkey by early 2020. However, it later announced that Turkey will continue to supply some components for the F-35s past this deadline and stated that it will allow Lockheed Martin to honor existing contractual obligations with Turkish manufacturers for the F-35 components. This means that the final exit from Turkey may not happen until 2022, 2 full years after the initial deadline that it was set up by Congress. In their letter to the Secretary Esper, the senators make it clear that the Pentagon is not following its own timeline or the intent of Congress in that matter, adding that they encourage the administration to take action to assure that Turkey will very quickly move completely out of the program as it is required by the law.
Given your sources in Washington and having covered the campaign to block the transfer of the F-35s, I think, over the last couple of years, how do you think that we're going to see the Defense Department react to this letter? Do you see the Defense Department taking action that these senators want?
I highly doubt that we will see such a development. Over the last years, we have seen a dramatic shift, both in Congress and in the State Department, when it comes to Turkey. I believe that Pentagon is the institution that resists the most to confront and adapt to this new reality. It looks, we can say, still trapped in the old policy paradigm of the Cold War era. And for these reasons, DOD is very careful and timid, I will dare to say, when it comes to dealing with Turkey's erratic behavior.
I want to move to another topic in U.S.-Turkish relations that caught everyone's attention on Monday, and that was the White House press secretary's clear reference to the Armenian genocide during a White House briefing. Now, Petro, was this just a slip-up that's going to get walked back by the administration, or was this something more?
So yesterday, during the White House press briefing, the secretary made a reference to an Armenian genocide memorial. We must remember that she was citing monuments and memorials that have been vandalized during nationwide protests over racism and police brutality. I'm not sure if this was an intentional statement, but it's pretty clear from the video that the press secretary was reading from her notes. So we can easily guess that this must be included there. It will be interesting, though, to see how the administration handled this, given the close relationship that exists between President Trump and President Erdogan. We also have to keep in mind that the official U.S. government policy is not still recognizing the genocide. And the last time a president made a reference to the Armenian genocide was the last president was President Ronald Reagan in 1981. The Turkish embassy, of course, as you can guess, was quick to dismiss this as a slip of the tongue and added that these expressions cannot be tolerated. My gut feeling is that we will see the White House to try to walk this back somehow. And the press secretary probably will try to make the case that the administration position remains the same.
Armenian organizations, we noticed, like the Armenian National Committee of America, Anka, one of our close partners, welcomed the reference to the Armenian genocide, obviously. And Anka was quoted in a news article on the story as saying that the comments made by the press secretary could mark the first steps towards, you know, quote, all of government recognition of the Armenian genocide in the United States. Do you think this is where it's heading?
I think Anka makes a good point, especially if we look at the significant progress made over the last years when it comes to genocide recognition here in the United States. I want to remind everyone of the votes that took place last year in the House and the Senate at the end of 2019, when both chambers recognized the Armenian genocide in sweeping vote. That was indeed a groundbreaking decision by Congress that also included language on the Greek and Assyrian genocides as well. Additionally, 49 out of 50 states in the United States recognized the Armenian genocide along with a number of other countries. Therefore, I believe that this builds pressure on the White House to act on this issue, and maybe with a different president, we can see some action towards that direction.
Petros, thank you for joining the Greek Current. It was great having you on, and thanks for the on-the-ground report.
Thank you for having me.
In other news, Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis has completed a year in office, riding high in opinion polls, his reputation further enhanced by his government's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. More than 67% of people judged Mitsotakis positively in the run-up to Tuesday's anniversary in a poll published by Protothema Weekly on Sunday. Additionally, recent polls have consistently shown the Prime Minister's party, New Democracy, leading the main opposition, Syriza, by more than 15%. Meanwhile, the European Commission revised down its economic forecast for the euro area and warned things could get worse if a second wave of the pandemic forces further lockdowns. The updated forecast on Tuesday said the eurozone economy is set to shrink by 8.7% this year, 1 percentage point worse than the EU executive predicted in early May. France, Italy, and Spain will struggle the most, the European Commission said. The latest forecast assumes that social distancing measures persist and that monetary and fiscal policy measures support the recovery. That wraps up today's Daily Roundup. Thanks for tuning in.